Let us pray. God of love, Jesus entered the lives of the fishers, spoke grace to them, and called them to follow him. Come into our lives now, speak your word to us, and stir up your spirit in us to follow your call. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Dearly beloved, think about how God has called you. Not many of you were exceptionally wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were born of aristocrats. But God chose what seems foolish to this world to expose the foolishness of what we call wisdom. God chose what is weak to outdo the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are nothing at all, to reduce to nothing things that seem like a big deal. So no one can boast in the presence of God. God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who came for us the living wisdom of God. God makes us authentic to ourselves, makes us holy for God's purposes, and makes our lives invaluable to God. So, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in God. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. One day Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, teaching the people, and the crowd was pressing in to hear the word of God. He saw a couple of boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, washing their nets. And he got into one of them, the one belonging to Simon. And he said, Simon, put out a little from the shore so that I can teach the people from there. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished teaching, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon said, oh, Master, we fished all night long. We caught nothing. But since you say so, we will do it. And as soon as they had done it, they caught so many fish, their nets were about to break. And they signaled the other boat to come and help them. And they filled both boats with so many fish, the boats were literally about to sink. And when Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. Because he was astounded at this catch of fish, as were everybody else there, James and John, his partners, sons of Zebedee. But Jesus said, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. When they came to the shore, they left their boats and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. In the hot sun in Galilee, the fish go down to deeper levels during the day. And then at night, when it cools off, they come up closer to the surface. It's the best time for fishing. So Simon and his friends are out there fishing at night because that's when it's fruitful. It's when you catch a lot of fish. I didn't catch any. So that next morning, sun is coming up. They're on the shore washing their nets. And Jesus comes along, and of course, wherever he goes, he gathers a crowd. And suddenly Simon looks up and Jesus has climbed into his boat. Doesn't ask permission. He just gets in, sits down and says, hey, Simon, take me out there. I want to preach from out there. Jesus has come without any warning, without asking permission, and just climbed into your life and said, "Hey, I need you. Will you help me do this?" How does that feel? You might feel startled. You might feel not quite prepared. A little overwhelmed, because when Jesus is around, we never know what's involved. It's always more than it looks like. But Jesus has come and sat down in your boat and said, "I need you." They've actually discovered a boat from biblical times, the remains of a boat at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And they're not just little rowboats. They're, 20, 25 feet long. So I imagine it took at least a couple people to row this boat out there and position it off the shore. And if you've ever been in a boat, you know that it will drift. So they've got to keep maneuvering that boat and keep it turned around the right way so that Jesus is facing the crowd. When Jesus has climbed into your life, you can't just say, "Oh yeah, I gave my life to Jesus in 1984. Every moment we're adjusting. We know that we are bearing Christ to the world. Jesus has said, "I want to teach the crowd through you." And we have to keep maneuvering the boat of our life so that that's happening, so that people see Jesus. How does that feel? Does it feel like a welcome task or sort of a lot? Right when we think we've maybe got it mastered, right when Jesus finished and Peter thought maybe he could go back in and take a break, Jesus says, "Now, go out to deeper water." And Peter says, "We fished all night. Didn't catch a thing. Why would we want to do that again?" Sometimes when Jesus steps into our life, it feels like we're just unprepared. We don't know what's coming. Sometimes we have a feeling that we know what's coming, and we don't feel worthy. That call to worship from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah experiences this call of God, and he thinks, "Oh, this is terrible. God wants me, and I'm no good. Pick somebody else, God." Sometimes we just feel like we're not good enough. Peter sees this miraculous catch of fish and he just collapses at Jesus' feet and says, "I don't deserve this, Jesus. Pick somebody else. Go away." When it really hits you that God wants you, that Jesus is asking you to bear Jesus into the world, sometimes we're just not up to it. We're too caught off guard, maybe, because without warning, Jesus has just climbed into our boat. Or maybe we just feel weary. Like Simon saying, "I fished all night. It's just not worth it." We all feel weary sometimes. Just like it's pointless. Like we're not getting anywhere. Sometimes, this is hard for some people to believe, but some mornings I wake up and think, "Do I have to do this again?" And I don't just mean my job. I mean everything. Do I have to be responsible? Can I just stay in bed all day? Can I just walk into the woods and not come back? Feels like I'm just not getting anywhere, not accomplishing anything. I'm not bringing healing to people. I'm not leading people along in their lives. I'm not bringing justice to the world. I'm not necessarily accomplishing anything. Or sometimes we just feel like we're not good enough. I'm not a good enough husband or pastor or wife, husband to my wife or parent to my kids or teacher to our youth. I'm not a good enough citizen. I'm not a good enough human being. That bugs us all the time. I love this little detail that Peter falls down at Jesus' knees. Because I imagine Jesus sitting there on a bench in the boat, watching all this happen. And there's this wonderful catch, and Peter panics. He's given this great opportunity. He's given this huge gift, and his reaction is to panic. Yeah, I can see that. We all do. We're all working at becoming a listening church. I want to become a deeper listener. Sometimes I feel like I'm not very good at that. I sure wasn't a good listener that time. We're reading The Anatomy of Peace, which is a really good book. Somebody said, you know, I don't like that book. I understand it. I agree with it. I just don't think I can do it. But the great thing is, Jesus is sitting on this bench, watching this whole thing go on. And I imagine him just smiling. And Peter saying, oh, Jesus, I'm too messed up. I'm not worth this. And Jesus is just smiling and nodding. Do not be afraid. You're fine. Don't worry. Jesus can see that miraculous catch of fish that we can't see. Jesus sees in you what you don't see. Whether you are one of those who is way too overconfident or doesn't believe in yourself, Jesus has it just right. Jesus knows what you're capable of, because what you're capable of is what Jesus is capable of in you and through you. What the Spirit is doing in you that's not even about you. Gregory Boyle is a priest who works with gang members in Los Angeles. He's written a book, Tattoos on the Heart, which is a really cool book about the gospel among these really rough gang members who have made a life before they're 20 of violence and robbery and drugs and sometimes murder. These are rough people. And he sees children of God among them. And because Tattoos of the Heart is kind of a bestseller, he gets invited to speak around a lot. And he always brings a couple of homies with him, a couple of these former gang members, just to be a part of the conversation. So Gonzaga University, where it was his alma mater, invited him to come speak at this big, huge thing. There's 1,000 or 2 people at this big event. And he brings along, he loves bringing these guys, partly because it's almost always the first time they've ever flown. And here are these guys who have grown up being really tough and impenetrable, and they're just like scared little kids getting on these planes. He loves it. So he brings along this guy named Mario, who, like all the rest of them, has made a life of being tough and impenetrable. And he's got tattoos everywhere you could find a place to put tattoos. His arms are all sleeved out. He's got the name of his gang tattooed on his neck, all over his face and his head, his ears, his eyelids even have tattoos on them. He just looks like you don't want to get close. But actually, he's the nicest guy. He's just this very gentle, thoughtful, loving dude. He sells cupcakes at the bakery at Homeboy Industries. And he's just the most helpful guy in the world. So Boyle brings Mario along to this speaking engagement. And sure enough, he's just as nervous as can be getting on the plane. And when they get there, Boyle does his presentation, makes his speech, and has this question and answer time with the homeboys. So he invites Mario up on the stage in front of 1,000 or 2,000 people. And it's like Mario's trying to hide behind his microphone. He's never spoken before 1,000 people before. And the very first question, this woman in the audience stands up and says, what advice would you give your children? Because Mario's a father by now. And there's this long pause, and you can tell that Mario partly is just nervous because he's in front of all those people, but also because there's something he wants to say and he's trying to form it. And he finally says, and he stops, and everybody's waiting, and Gregory can tell how much he's struggling, wrestling with that microphone, just really wanting to get this out and terrified to say it. And he finally says, I just don't want them to turn out like me. And there's this deep silence. And then the woman in the audience says, Why not? You're loving and wise and honest and gentle. You've gone through a lot of hard stuff, and here you are. It seems to me like you're exactly the kind of person that you should want your kids to turn out like. And 1,000 people jump to their feet. They're cheering and applauding. It goes on and on and on. And Mario's just retreating behind the microphone. And you know that partly they're applauding what that woman said. And partly they're applauding Mario. And partly they're applauding that Mario in themselves. That's afraid that we're not good enough. And there's this voice that says, no, you're exactly the kind of person that you should want your kids to turn out like. They're applauding you. And that Mario, that Peter in you, that's not convinced. But Jesus sits there in the boat and smiles. Because he knows, he sees that miraculous catch that's too deep for you to see. But he can see it. He believes in you. He believes that you are just the kind of person that God hopes you turn out to be. He's just waiting for that miraculous catch to come up. It'll practically sink your boat. And when you've hauled it all in, you'll have to leave it all behind for something even greater. But you can't not follow somebody who believes in you so deeply. Will you pray with me? God, there is a miraculous catch of fish deep in us. And your spirit, not our skill or our worthiness, but your love in us, empowers us to do justice and love mercy in this world. Help us to trust how deeply you believe in us. God, for that great school of fish that is the Holy Spirit deep within us, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.